In the studio, I have Claire Gogarty joining me. She's the author of From Village to Suburb, The Building of Clontarf Since 1760. That's a fair while to go back. How are you, Claire?
How are you, Sabrina?
So I love the title, the idea of From Village to Suburb, because when you think of Clontarf, you kind of think, ash, it's only a short trot out from the city. I mean, you wouldn't think of it. But I mean, it was probably in 1760, very much rural County Dublin.
Yes, that's true. It was. It was just a little kind of circle of houses, you know, and it would have been 3 miles away from Dublin. So,
and I imagine the buildings there, I mean, because Clontarf, when you think of Clontarf, there's an awful lot of beautiful buildings down along the seafront there. And if you go kind of deeper in behind the roads, there is an awful lot of beautiful buildings there. Would a lot of those buildings have dated from like the 1700s?
Yes. Well, the reason I took 1760 was that there's a very good map by a guy called John Roke and of the county of Dublin about 1760. And he has three houses on his map, which are still actually standing. So, and one of those is Furry Park, and it's actually marked Furry Park. He also has the castle, Clontarf Castle, marked on his map. Now, the castle that's there now is not the one that was actually on his map, but it's, you know, it's still there on the same spot. So,
oh, so it, the Clontarf Castle, as we know it now, is it completely different, or is there some parts
yes,
of it?
No, it was completely rebuilt in about 1835 when a new member of the Vernon family inherited the estate. He decided that before he got married, he would, you know, he would bring his wife back to a new castle. So he had it completely rebuilt. He wanted to just restore it, but his architect told him that no, there's no real question of that. You'll have to demolish it and rebuild it. So, he rebuilt it so that it would look old. So there are actually different parts of it that look like they are from different periods, but it was actually all rebuilt.
So if you had a keen eye for architecture, would you be able to spot kind of almost like discrepancies, like why is this design with this design?
Yes, you probably would, but it was actually quite well done in that, you know, it looks like there's an you know, a Norman tower, and then joined onto that is an Elizabethan part, and then joined onto that is a more modern part, you know, which would be possible, you know, in truly old buildings, you know, because, you know, people generally didn't demolish the bits that were still standing. You know, they just joined the other bits onto them. So it is possible.
So, Claire, the book is basically a collection of all these beautiful houses and beautiful buildings around Clontarf. Where did you get the idea to put this together?
Well, I had come back to Clontarf. I was living with my parents at the time because I had been living abroad, and I was just temping because it was just at the beginning of the recession, so I couldn't find a full-time job. So I was temping, which really did my head in, I must say. And I was thinking that, you know, to keep my brain ticking over, I would like to do something because I have a degree in history anyway. So and I have worked for architects. So in order to combine all of those things, I decided to do a history of Clontarf, because it hasn't really been done before, in this sense at least, as a kind of a developmental history of, you know, how the suburb got to look like how it looks now, if you like. So so I just started off on it, and I thought it would take 6 months, and 2.5 years later here I am with my book.
Well, as we were saying earlier on, just before we came on air, we were saying that history is the type of thing where you dip into it and you say, I'm only going to look at this for an hour, I'm only going to look at this for a few days, I'm only going to look at this for a week, and suddenly you've opened a huge can of worms.
Sure.
And as you said, 2.5 years later you're sitting there and you're going to be launching your book next Thursday, and you kind of go, how did this happen? I just to kind of go back to what you were saying about the idea of just wanting to keep your brain ticking over. How has it kind of, do you feel better about yourself after going through this process?
Yes, definitely, because it's definitely an achievement. It's something that I did completely on my own. I haven't had anybody, you know, behind me, backing me up. I mean, you know, I've had support from friends and family, of course, but, you know, so yes, this is something that I decided to do and that I have done. And, you know, very shortly I will have a book to actually prove that. And yeah, I mean, it's a great achievement.
Did you ever think you would write a book?
Actually, yes, I did.
You're probably the first person I've ever heard who's written a book that said, yeah, I probably was going to write a book at some stage.
I decided when I started it, I kind of thought there's no point in just doing it for myself, because then, you know, if I get tired, I might just, you know, say stuff it and leave it. So I thought, no, from the beginning, I thought, yes, I'm going to write a book about this.
That's very good. Absolutely fantastic. You need that goal.
Yes.
You need that goal. Now, you were telling me a little bit about the Vernon family.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell listeners who they are and why they are significant?
Okay. Well, one of the Vernons came over with Oliver Cromwell's army, and he got Clontarf. He bought it from the guy who was given it by Oliver Cromwell. And but then, unfortunately, of course, his family came into disrepute after King Charles II was restored after Cromwell. And so he actually lost it. But he had a cousin who was on Charles's side, who was quite close to the Lord Lieutenant at the time and managed to get the estate of Clontarf back. So from about 1650 then, the Vernons owned it, and they owned it right up until 1967. Now, most people don't actually know that, because the last Vernon actually moved out in about the 1920s, I think. They moved back to England, and they left it with a Mr. Oulton, who was their agent or their lawyer. So, most people don't actually know that Vernon did actually continue to own it up until 1967 when he died. Unfortunately, his only son died in the war. So he had four daughters, but they didn't get to inherit it. By that stage, anyway, most of the land had been sold off because people were allowed to buy out their leases and that kind of thing. So that was done. So the Vernons had it from 1650 up until 1967, which is a fair amount of time. And I think that they kept a close eye on what was going on. They only leased out the land. They didn't actually sell any of their land. They might have leased it for 999 years, some of it, but they didn't actually sell it. So they still kept ownership. And they also didn't allow any industry in the area, because industry was, you know, coming into areas like Drumcondra and Glasnevin and stuff. So they didn't allow any industry into Clontarf. So I think that the way it looks now is majorly due to the Vernons.
That's very interesting about kind of not allowing the industry into it, because, I mean, if you consider here around this area in Coolock, there's an awful lot of industrial zones.
Yeah.
And it does affect the look of the landscape.
Mm.
And do you think that, you know, this is part of the reason why Clontarf is so beautiful?
Yes, it is partly, because it was really kind of pushed as being a resort town, for a large part of its history. And, you know, because it was beside the sea, you know, it was where people could go on holidays, you know, from the polluted city centre. And
a mere 3 miles away.
A mere 3 miles away. And then, you know, when the tram came out, you know, it improved public transport into the city, you know, and then middle class people could move out as well. Because, I mean, in the beginning, it was really, you know, upper class, and then, you know, there were the workers to keep it going as well. So I think it was very much pushed by the Vernons to be, you know, a nice area, a pretty area, a beautiful area.
And Claire, tell me, there seems to be a huge amount of work has gone into this, because even on your website here, clontarfbuildinghistory.com, if you click on one of the tabs, the Vernon family, a drop-down menu appears, and there just seems to be an absolute just trench of information there and history. How difficult is it to actually put all these pieces of a jigsaw together to create something like what you have now?
Okay, well, I went into the Registry of Deeds and I went to their books and I looked up Clontarf and all of the deeds that they had relating to Clontarf. I basically looked at them. And that's really where I got so much of the information, because particularly about the Vernons, because, you know, I would see that, you know, John Vernon gave a lease to somebody, and then you'd find it again in a few years' time, and, oh, John Edward Venables Vernon is giving the lease to somebody else. And, you know, and that's really where I got a lot of my information, particularly about the Vernons, as I say.
Do you then have to kind of make assumptions as to why things happened?
I didn't really, because I suppose because I have a background in studying history in a university, and that would have been very much frowned on, I'd say.
So there's no such thing as the educated guess, is there?
Well, no, not in history. They say the facts speak for themselves, really, I think.
Okay.
You lay out the facts and, you know, you let the reader make their own assumptions. I think that's probably it, in most cases anyway.
Very good. So the book itself is a self-published book, which is extraordinary in the world of publishing. Absolutely extraordinary. It really seems that you had a huge mountain to climb with this one. How difficult is it to self-publish a book?
For the earlier parts of the book, I had a publisher in mind, and yes, she had said that she would do it. And then, as it turned out, she wasn't able to do it. So I was kind of left to self-publish it myself. But at the same time, the only thing she was going to do was design it. The selling and, you know, distributing of the book was left up to me, really, anyway. So I kind of... You know, I went into it knowing what I was getting into, really.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of work particularly now because it's being launched in 3 days. I think I was prepared for all of the work that it would be.
So tell us a little bit about the launch. It's on Thursday evening, is it?
Yes, Thursday evening, 7:30 in Clontarf Castle.
I suppose the perfect venue, really, isn't it, for it?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I was thinking, you know, where could I possibly hold the launch? And, I mean, the only answer was Clontarf Castle, because, you know, it is referred to plenty of times in the book, of course. And I do have a section about Clontarf Castle and all the Vernons who lived in Clontarf Castle, of course, as well. So, so it was the obvious place, really.
And you have it, it's being launched by Joe Duffy as well, which is quite nice to get a face like that and a name like that to launch it for you.
That's right. Well, of course, Joe Duffy lives in Clontarf. He lives in, you know, a house on the Clontarf Road that has been there for about 120 years or so. So I think he probably, you know, has a graw for the old houses and stuff. So
that's absolutely fantastic. And on the website as well, it says that you are going to be obviously selling copies of the book, but also pictures of some of the houses.
Yes. Now, if people have a particular house in mind that I have a picture of, you see, I got a number of pictures from people who have been associated with the houses. You know, their grandfather might have lived there, or, you know, that kind of thing. Even though they are now demolished, because most of the houses that I speak about in the book have been demolished. But if I have a photograph, or if I have a photograph of what is there now, I can certainly provide them to people with a little bit about the house as it was.
Is it difficult to get pictures of these houses?
Yes, it can be. But you see, the fact that I was from Clontarf and my parents had lived there for 50 years, it meant that I knew a lot of people, and I knew a lot of slightly older people. Was in the Historical Society, and, you know, I kind of made an appeal to people if they had any information about any houses, you know, if they could let me know. And I got quite a few you know, pictures of houses and information about houses.
It's amazing, actually, like you know, pictures of houses, what people have in their homes that don't even realise they have.
Exactly, yes. You know, exactly.
I mean, every house has that dusty old photo album hidden away somewhere.
Exactly.
And you're part of the Clontarf Historical Society, isn't
it? That's right.
Are you still part of that?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I don't think you'd ever leave that, would you?
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
Tell us a little bit about that. What's it like to be part of a historical society?
Well, it's very interesting. They have lectures every month, except of course during the summertime, and you know, and a lot of them are very interesting. They might be also local people, or you know, local people from, you know, nearby suburbs, if you like. You know, there was a guy from Malahide who came to us to give a talk last year, and you know. You will always find something interesting in the talks and that. And then they have a connection to the Irish Federation of Local History Societies, I think their name is. And they do walks and talks during the year and that kind of thing. And a weekend away and that kind of thing.
And is it something that somebody could dip into a little bit, maybe?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they're always very welcoming. Can people find more information about the History Society online?
Yes, I think it's just under Clontarf Historical Society.
So, Claire, can anybody come along to the launch on Thursday evening, or is it a special by invitation only?
No. I'd love to see as many people as possible coming along to the launch.
Well, absolutely. Best of luck with it. And it's been such a long time coming for you. It must be great to finally see the fruition of your labour.
Yes, it is. It'll be far better on Friday morning, I'm sure, when it's all over.
Well, thanks so much for coming in, Claire, and I appreciate your time, and best of luck with the book.